In your mind, how do you picture God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now I want you to think about the picture of a mother nursing her baby, cuddling her baby, protecting her baby. That's a beautiful picture to get in your mind. And I think God wants us to have that picture of Him. And so many people don't have that concept of God. See, God's a God you can get close to. When you feel so unloved, and when you feel like everyone's bailed out on you, and when your spouse of 20 years stabs you in the back and says, I don't want to be married to you anymore, and your life is just shattered, and the tears just won't stop flowing, El Shaddai says, come to me, and I'll hold you, and I'll carry you. God is a God who will hold you when you lose your loved one. El Shaddai is there to say, come into my arms, I'll hold you close.
Every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us on this Friday broadcast. Today, Pastor Jeff is going to encourage us to formulate in our mind's eye the picture that God would have us to see. It should be a picture that accurately describes at least one of the many attributes of God. These attributes also point us to the many names of God that describe Him so clearly. The message today is called, His Name is Almighty, and it's one of eight in Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, What is His Name? Finding Strength and Deliverance in the Powerful Names of God. Now, so far this month, we've learned the meaning of I Am, of Yahweh, and of Elohim. Today, we continue our study of El Shaddai. That should give us great comfort, knowing the kind of protection we have in El Shaddai's arms. Now, if you missed part one from last time, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. And when you're there, you can also take a look at the new year-long devotional book contributed to by Pastor Jeff. And it's our thank you gift for your year-end gift to From His Heart this month. And I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. Now, though, open your Bible, if you can, to Genesis chapter 17. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to remind us that God's name is Almighty.
El Shaddai. Interesting name in the Bible for God. It's only used seven times in that manner, El Shaddai. But we want to unpack that name. We want to look at that name to see, okay, how does that name for God make a difference in my life? In Genesis chapter 17, the Lord reveals this name. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I want you to notice with me four wonderful truths from the name El Shaddai. Truth number one, God is the one who is all powerful. Now, if you take those are two separate words, El and Shaddai. El, all by itself, means power, means might. Shaddai means almighty. And it's translated El Shaddai, God Almighty. El is always translated God, but El has within it the idea of power. And so it's almost as if God is saying, I am powerful, powerful God. Now, when he comes to Abraham, the scripture makes it clear, Abraham or Abram, he gets his name changed in chapter 17. He was always Abram, which meant the exalted father, which was kind of a funny name because he didn't have any kids. And he gets his name changed to Abraham, and Abraham means father of a multitude. His wife Sarai gets her name changed to Sarah, which means princess. And the Lord said to him that he was going to give him a son. Now, Abraham was in his early 70s at that time, and he didn't have any children, and his wife was 10 years younger, so she was in her early 60s. But now, it's been decades since that promise, and there are no children. But see, it seemed impossible. I'm too old, and God comes to him at 99 and says, listen, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have a son. And he said, well, I do. I have Ishmael. He said, no, it's not Ishmael the son. You're going to have a son from your wife, Sarah. Well, she's 89. I mean, it was a big stretch to believe at 62 she could have a baby, but it's a huge stretch to believe at 89 you're going to have a baby. Anyway, she went through menopause, and she's not going to have any kids. And God says, yes, you are, because I am El Shaddai. I am God all-powerful. I'm able to do what I say. I'm able to keep my promises. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Anything too difficult for the Lord? What's going on in your life that seems so difficult, that seems so impossible? Whatever you're facing, your health problems, your job problems, your relationship problems, your marriage problems, your family problems, nothing is too difficult for God. He says, I am El Shaddai, the God who is all powerful. Second truth that we learn, God is the one who is all sufficient. All sufficient. Now, this is really, really interesting that many of you probably don't know about this name, El Shaddai. The root word Shaddai, in the word Shaddai comes this root word Shad. Shad in Hebrew means breast. And God is revealing himself as the breasted one. Well, the ancients knew how important mom was to life. They knew that when a baby came into this world, if mom wasn't around, if mother died in childbirth, and there wasn't a wet nurse somewhere close by, that baby was going to die. Because the only way a baby lives and can be nourished and fed is by mom and through mom. And so when the Lord says that he is El Shaddai, the breasted one, he's saying, I'm the one who can nourish you. God is the one who will hold you because he's El Shaddai. Now, I want you to think about that picture of a mother with her baby, nursing her baby, cuddling her baby, warming her baby, protecting her baby. That's a beautiful picture to get in your mind. And I think God wants us to have that picture of him. And so many people don't have that concept of God. See, God's a God you can get close to. God is a God who will hold you when you lose your loved one. El Shaddai is there to say, come into my arms, I'll hold you close. Isaiah 46 says this, listen to me, descendants of Jacob and all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I cared for you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will carry you. I will carry you along and save you. That is El Shaddai. And then fourthly, I want you to notice, not only is God the all-powerful one, the all-sufficient one, the one who will hold you, but God is the one who will bless you. See, Genesis 17 is all about God blessing Abraham. And eight times you read in Genesis 17 how God says, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. And Abraham, you're not going to just be an exalted father. You're going to be a father of a multitude. I'm going to give you so many children. Kings are going to come forth from you, and nations are going to come forth from you. And I will be your God, and I'm going to give you land. Whose land is in the land of Israel that they're trying to fight over and parcel out? God's land, the earth is the Lord's and everything therein. And God gave that land to Abraham and his descendants forever. And that's all part of this covenant. And it's all about God just blessing his socks off. Now, wouldn't it be great if God came to you and said to little old you, I want to bless your socks off. I want to do for you such great and awesome and mighty things. You say, yeah, that's just for Abraham. That's not for me. Baloney. It's just for Abraham. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God is a God who longs to bless and loves to bless, and El Shaddai wants to bless you. But there are some things that you have to do to get into the flow of God's blessings. You know, in America, we talk about God bless America. And we all the time, you hear politicians all the time, and they say, well, God bless America. Well, God wants to bless America, but God won't bless America until America gets on blessing ground. We want to do everything we want to do and then say, God, you bless it. I'm going to live any way I want to, and God, you bless it. And God says, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it like that. But you start aligning your life with me, you get your life right with me, and you'll notice the blessings will start to flow. Now, what do you need to do to get blessings in your life so that God pours out his favor and his blessings on you? Number one, you must look to him. Look what he says again in Genesis chapter 17. He says, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, that word before, walk before me, the word before is the Hebrew word panim, P-A-N-I-M. It literally means face. God told Abraham, Abraham, you walk facing me. Your face on my face. That's how I want you to walk, with your face on me. Look to me. We have a lot of people today, they don't want to walk with their face toward God. They don't walk looking at God with their face on God's face. You know why? When you get sin in your life, when self gets on the throne of your life and you're just living for yourself, you know you're not right with God. You know the Lord is not king in you. And what do? You do exactly what Adam did. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ate of the fruit that God told them not to eat of. And then the scripture says they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness because they knew they were naked. And then God came down in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, the scripture says, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. They hid themselves from the presence, from the panim, P-A-N-I-M, from the face of God. They didn't want to face God because they weren't right with God. And when you and I aren't walking with God, when we're not right with God, we don't want to face him. The Lord's saying, listen, the way blessings come, you have to walk before me, walk facing me. And when you face troubles and trials and things get stormy in life, keep looking to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. If God's called you to something big, fix your eyes on Jesus. Peter got out of that boat because the Lord called him, and Peter was walking on the water, and everything was going great until he saw the wind. He saw the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus, and when he did that, he began to sink. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The Lord says, walk before me, face me. And you must look to him, and I must look to him for God's blessings to flow. And then you must be honest and sincere before him. He says, walk before me and be blameless. Be blameless. Sometimes we get that confused, and we think God's asking me to be sinless. He doesn't say, walk before me and be sinless. If he told Abraham, walk before me and be sinless, Abraham couldn't do it. If he tells you and me to do that, we can't do it either. Nobody can do that. He's not asking you to be sinless. He's asking you to be blameless. There's a big difference. The word blameless in Hebrew means to be complete. It means to be sound. It means to have integrity. It means to have sincerity, to be genuine and true. Not perfect, but genuine and true. It's the difference between solid wood and particle board. You know, if you take a look at a piece of solid wood and particle board, lots of times you can't tell the difference between those two until you start screwing something into them. You stick a screw in particle board, you find out, hey, this is just a veneer, and inside it's just pressed wood. It's not really solid. It's not genuine. But you screw a screw into a piece of solid oak, you'll find, hey, that's true, that's genuine, that's complete, that's sound. What kind of a Christian are you? You a particle board Christian? You just look good on the outside? We have so many people in this world who long to look good on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. Just like the Pharisees, Jesus said, you guys are whitewashed tombs. Outside you look really good, inside you're rotten. And God doesn't see as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart, on the heart. So when the Lord looks today at your heart, what does he see? Does he see someone who's blameless? Someone who is really being honest with the Lord? Or does he see someone who's just a fake, just a fraud, just a shell? And inside your heart is rotten and you hate this person, you hate this person, you hate that person. You're mad at this one, you're mad at that one, you're mad at the other one, and you're lusting after this and you're greedy for that. And your heart is so far away from God, yet you come to church and you sing his praises. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me. It's empty. It's a waste of your time to worship God if your heart's not in it. The Lord says, walk before me in, be blameless in sincerity and truth. And then, see, if I really want to walk with God, if I really want to do what God says, all right, God, I'm going to put my face on your face. I'm going to come out from the trees and I'm going to get real in my relationship with you. And I'm not perfect, but I'm going to start walking in the light and I'm going to quit hiding in the darkness. I do that. And then I say, I'm going to be honest with you. And if I'm struggling with something, I'm going to bring it before you. And I'm not going to pretend to be this super Christian when I know that I'm just drowning in a sea of sin and all sorts of problems and all sorts of bitternesses. I'm going to get honest about that and I'm going to seek help with that. And then you have to obey him. You have to obey him. Now, God says he's going to do all these things for Abraham, and there's something Abraham has to do. Look in Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep. Okay, God, lay it on me. I'm ready to keep your covenant. Between me and you and your descendants after you, every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised, verse 11, in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. God, can you run that by me one more time, what I'm supposed to do? Lord says, you to be circumcised. And everyone in your house is to be circumcised, and everybody that's born after you, at 8 days, you circumcise them. I guarantee you, Abraham thought to himself, Lord, can we just start this with the 8-day-olds? Because this is not going to be fun. I don't want to do this. I'm 99 years old. God said, yeah, I know how old you are. Ishmael's 13 years old. All these other guys that live in my house are adults. Yeah, I realize that. It's the sign of the covenant. Do it. Verse 23. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin 3 weeks after God said. No. A year after they haggled about it. No. In the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 25, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 26, in the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. Okay, God, we've got it. Verse 27, and all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. 5 times he says pretty much the very same thing. What's the purpose of that? God is saying this. God is saying, sometimes I'm going to ask you to do something and you're not going to understand it. It's not going to make any sense to you at all. And furthermore, not only are you not going to understand it, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And there's not a guy in here who reads those 5 verses that doesn't say, ouch, that would hurt. God, why would you want me to do that? Surely, God, you don't want me to do something that's going to hurt me. There are a lot of things God asks us to do that are going to hurt. They're going to hurt. Maybe you're dating somebody that's tearing you down. And you're trying to live for the Lord, and that person doesn't know the Lord, and they're just tearing you down, and morally you're going down the sewer. And God says, break up with that person. I couldn't do that. I love them. Do it. They're tearing you down, and God can see into your future, a disastrous future. Do it. God says to some of you who are holding on to such bitterness in your life, God says, let that person go. No, I don't want to let them go. They hurt me. One of the dearest ladies I know in our church had such a deep, deep wound, someone who hurt her and hurt her daughter and hurt their family in the worst way you could possibly do that. And she had such bitterness. She said, "Jeff, I loved to hate this person. It was my right to hate this person for what they did to me, for what they did to my family." And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Let it go." And when she let it go, flood of God's grace and God's peace and God's power came into her life. God often will ask us to do something that's painful, that's hard, that we don't want to do. There's a big thing that a lot of people don't want to do. You know what it is? Giving. I don't want to do that. Let somebody else do that. God says, you do it. You want to be blessed? You do it. Do you like to bless people that rob you? Do you think of doing nice things for people who come into your house in your sight, rifle through your wallet and steal money from you? Would you say, "Hey, I want to take that guy to dinner. I like the fact that he's stealing from me." Of course not. You think that God doesn't see? You think that God doesn't know how much money you make? You think that God's some kind of old geezer and hadn't figured it out yet and you can pull the wool over his eyes? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God sees. And God knows when you're obeying him and when you're disobeying him. God wants to bless you, but he's not going to bless you if you're not obeying him. And Abraham did it in the very same day as God had said to him. El Shaddai is here. He's calling for you, and he's calling today. And what is your answer to him?
Does your obedience reflect your faith in the El Shaddai, the great Almighty, who is all-powerful and all-sufficient? He really does want to bless his children, to bless you, and to hold you in your darkest hours. Knowing the names of God, which reveal his character and love for us, is very important and very encouraging. And we want to continue to be a great encouragement to you here at From His Heart. This is why we exist. We're here to help you grow in your walk with God and bring others to a new faith in Christ. But that only happens as we can afford to produce and distribute these programs on hundreds of stations nationwide. And these funds only come from the support of our listeners. From His Heart is now on 800-plus stations around the nation every day, and thousands of television and cable outlets nationwide, and seen weekly in 182 countries. So thanks to you for hearing from God and supporting this ministry regularly. And we want to expand this outreach to reach 1,000 stations in the next couple of years. And as God provides, we'll do that. But we need your help to do it. December is a huge month for this ministry, when we normally would receive about 25% of our annual budget for the whole next year, and that sustains us. Our goal this month is $315,000, and for your year-end gift of $25 or more before December the 31st, we'd like to say thanks by sending you the new year-long devotional book called Touched by the Truth. It's a beautiful keepsake devotional you'll treasure for years, that'll continue to encourage you in your faith journey. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift of $25 or more, and we'll send you Touched by the Truth. Again, thank you so much for your supportive year-end gift and for trusting and investing in kingdom work through From His Heart. Well, our time is up for today. Be back here on Monday, when we learn about another name of God, a wonderful name that assures us He is our provider. That's when Pastor Jeff Shree will open up God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is blessing, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.